and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. At least 93 people have died, and shelters are filling up fast as more residents realize wildfires didn't leave much behind in Maui.
Bill Weiland's well-known art gallery in Lahaina burned to the ground. He says the building was the first movie theater in the state of Hawaii. He escaped on his motorcycle with only his laptop and passport, leaving his car behind to be consumed by the fire.
Literally flames behind me. I could feel it burning the back of my neck. And I could see the embers all on in front of me. They were swirling around because there were like 70-mile-an-hour winds. It was insane.
The investigation continues into the cause of the fire, and questions remain about why Hawaii's warning sirens were not activated to alert tourists and locals. Jeff Nguyen, CBS News, Maui.
Around the rest of the country, millions are bracing for storms. Meteorologist Mark Chinars with the Weather Channel.
The bigger severe risk today will be in the middle of the country, kind of from the Central Plains into portions of Missouri, Kentucky, Tennessee, kind of that area. And then even embedded within there, there's a greater risk kind of focused across southern Missouri. We also have a higher flash flood risk there.
Republicans who've been calling for prosecutors to go harder on Hunter Biden are now slamming the special counsel appointed to his criminal case. U.S. Attorney David Weiss was appointed by former President Trump, but Delaware Congressman Mike Turner says he dropped the ball.
He was the one that allowed the statute of limitations to expire on some very critical felony charges that could have been brought against Hunter Biden.
Hunter's facing tax and weapons charges. Meantime, a grand jury is expected to hear more evidence on possible election interference involving former President Trump, who now faces a fourth indictment. CBS's Robert Costa was on Face the Nation.
We're also going to likely learn this week that others in this whole Trump orbit are going to be indicted, those who tried to be so-called fake electors in Georgia.
At least eight people signed a certificate falsely stating Trump had won the state. Two pilots were forced to eject from a plane during the Thunder Over Michigan air show today in Belleville. County Supervisor Kevin McNamara.
They're okay. They're being treated for minor injuries. The plane crashed near an apartment complex, and at this time, there are no injuries reported from that site.
Investigators are still looking into what caused it. The rest of the show was canceled. Mark Zuckerberg says it is time to move on from all that cage match talk with Elon Musk. The Meta founder said today on Threads he's ready to fight, but Elon isn't serious. The ex-owner says he may need surgery and now wants to practice in Zuck's backyard. The tech billionaires have been going back and forth on this for months. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
I'm James, senior apparel designer, and this is Behind the Design with Brothers and Sons. Brothers and Sons is a brand that is just a guy who loves the outdoors, really playing up the comfort in the touch of fabrics and then just making sure it has that durability. We are creating uniqueness and opportunities with design and fabrics and function. Brothers and Sons, only at Boot Barn.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Increase your vehicle's performance and gas mileage with Lucas Fuel Treatment at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply add it to your tank at your next fill-up to eliminate carbon and varnish deposits. Right now, get two bottles of Lucas Fuel Treatment for $10. See store for details. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store or shop online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Lows level off around 55. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. High temperatures reach up to 62. Chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 48. Mainly clear. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 65.
Ah! Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this July 30th session something something or another. Your host and program director here, James J. Maloff, with my partner in art, our head of production, Seth Habhager. Seth, the mics are on. Let us roll.
Yes, indeed. Welcome, everyone, to this wonderful show. We've got a real treat in store today.
Oh.
We've got another musician that we're going to be talking to, and James is so excited, he's exploding. So go.
Yes, we asked the best audience in radio to welcome to the WFHR stage Michael Charles, Chicago Blues Hall of Fame, 38 albums released, a man who has played with Buddy Guy, a man that Dan Kenning of the Chicago Tribune called Australia's answer to Stevie Ray Vaughan, currently on his 16th consecutive international tour, and a fellow Pisces. Michael, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, James, man. It's always a pleasure.
Michael, real quick, before we get into kind of your origin story and some of that, what does it feel like to hear, you know, I didn't even get all your accolades in there, to get a resume like that, to hear all of that just all together, what's your first impressions hearing something like that?
Very humbling. Of course, it's they're great honors and all that, but my attitude, I can't talk for all musicians, but me, every time you would, in my case, when I achieve something like that, I look at it like a nice pat on the back, and then it drives me to work even harder, because people can say what they want. You can get all sorts of awards and all sorts of, you know, telling you that you're great, and you read about yourself in newspapers and things. But at the end of the day, you've got to prove yourself to the audiences. So it just makes me work harder, and... Yeah, those pats on the back, that's all it is. It's a one-second pack on the back, and I'll go, thank you, and let's get to work.
Because if
you can't live up to it, you might as well just hang it up.
Yeah.
I think you've
got to find something else to do.
You've got to live up to it, yeah.
Michael, I know you've joined us before on the air, and we had such a good time. This is a little bit of a different show. We have some different audience members maybe joining us. So if you don't mind, I'd like to get a little bit into your origin story. If you don't mind, it doesn't sound like you're from Brooklyn, Michael. If you wouldn't mind telling us where you're from, your background, a little bit of that.
Well, I can tell you, I'm not even close to Brooklyn. So, I'm originally from Melbourne, Australia. And I was born and raised in Australia. I say born and raised because I had all my childhood there and part of my adulthood, but had the other half of my adulthood here in the United States. And I based myself in Chicago. And the whole thing came about because one day my management said to me that we had an invitation to come to Chicago and... play at Buddy Guy's Legends and a few other things that they mentioned. And I got asked, what do you think? And I said, well, there's nothing to think about. Let's just go. I mean, you don't say no to a guy like Mr. Buddy Guy.
Mm-hmm.
So before I knew it, you know, we were on a plane and came to Chicago, hooked up with Mr. Guy. And I guess, you know, to cut a long story short, it all went from there and... it was a two-week stint, and those 2 weeks ended up being, you know, another 6 months and another 6 months till, you know, 33 years or so have passed. And, got a green card in between all there. Then I became an American citizen. My life just turned around. It changed. But, you know, just go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
And if things are working out, don't look back. Just look forward. And here I am now talking to you.
Time only moves one direction, and it really helps, I think, with things like that. Michael, it doesn't sound like it was your plan to stay in the States, though. That did happen kind of organically, it sounds like.
Yeah, it did. With when I came, like I said, it was a two-week thing. So I did the 2 weeks, and then I went back to Australia. But it was really funny, because as soon as I got off the plane in Australia and I got picked up and went home, and I kind of just went outside and looked around, looked at the sky, and I'm just looking around going, man, I've done pretty much everything that I've wanted to do in Australia. And because I was in the States for 2 weeks, I thought there's a kind of a little trapdoor, you know, that I can open up and sneak in there and see if I can leave some kind of a mark. So I basically turned around and went right back. Instead of the 2 weeks, I got myself a six-month visa, like I said, and once that expired, I kept extending, and I kept extending these six-month visas until the United States said to me, "You can't be doing this anymore. You've got to go home." You know? So I thought, well, "What's my next?" We can't allow this. And so I said, "What's the next step?" I said, "Well, if you really want to be here, you've got to, you know, apply for a work permit and green cards and all this kind of stuff." So I got all the information and just pursued that, and one thing led to another. So it wasn't intentional, but I guess something inside me said that I really wanted to do this here, and not realizing that all these years would have, or not even realizing it would have became my home, and no regrets. I love it. Everybody around me are just fantastic. I've met some great, talented people, and the big thanks always goes to Mr. Buddy Guy and his management at the time, because without that invitation, I would not be here. But it all worked out, and it's been a hell of a ride, and I'm still on that ride.
Michael, you are known for the guitar. Was that the first instrument you played?
Actually, when I was a little kid, I would make my own drum kit out of boxes and whatever I could, pots and pans, whatever I could get my hands on. So, and I would just put a little transistor radio on at the time and just bash along with these songs, you know, people like the Beatles and Elvis and all these, legends back in the time. And then as I got older, a bunch of other artists. But I wanted to be a drummer. And my dad played guitar, and I remember saying to him, "I just love music. I want to play drums." And he looked at me and said, "There's a guitar over there. Play guitar." And and I was playing guitar anyway, because the guitar was always in the house, so I would pick it up. So I don't remember not playing, but I had this passion about playing drums. And but I never really did become a drummer. I just kind of concentrated on the guitar. Then I got fascinated with it. It just became an obsession more than just something I wanted to learn. And, yeah, it's my number one instrument. I dabble in a lot of instruments when I'm in the studio recording, but I tell everybody I just dabble. But guitar is my instrument.
Leave this time. I won't be back no more.
We're speaking with Michael Charles. And Michael, when it comes to influences, you've mentioned Buddy Guy. I think that if you listen to your music, you can even hear a bit of that influence in there. So we kind of have that. But one of the reasons I like to ask this question is I think oftentimes we hear of another artist that we like's influences and we're turned on to a whole new artist. My father, that's how we got into a lot of Muddy Waters, and some of that was hearing guys like that he enjoyed, listened to, mention him. So outside of Buddy Guy, who we love. I mean, any chance I could talk all hour about Buddy Guy if you wanted to, Michael, and I'm sure you could too. Outside of him, what are some of the other influences you had growing up?
Oh, as I said, my dad taught me guitar originally, so I mean, I would always pick it up and play it, I guess. But then I still remember him showing me some basic chords and riffs, and he had two guitar players that he just adored, and they would always fascinate him. And one was Jose Feliciano at the time.
Ooh, wow.
And the other one was Glen Campbell. Both of those guitar players are just pure magic. I mean, I don't know if you know a lot about what they've done or achieved, but their playing is just over the top. I mean, Glen Campbell, you're on radio, so you probably know this, but in the mid-70s probably to the mid-80s, every song that came on the radio, because he was a session player, and he was on all those hit records. So every song on the radio, he was playing on it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, from, you know, any artist you would mention, he was on it. So his guitar playing was just over the top. So my dad, being a fan of these guys, he'd be watching them on television and stuff, and I'd be watching them, and just, and I still remember watching Glen Campbell one night, and I just looked up at my dad, and I asked him, I said, "Do you think I'll ever be able to play like that?" And he looked at me and just stared for a minute, and then just said one word: practice.
Oh, awesome. Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That is good.
And I've been practicing ever since.
That's all it took. That one word.
As a father, I'm writing that down. I'm writing the practice.
One word, man.
That's it. That's all it takes.
It was a shot, man.
Yeah.
I drive the main roads, searching in the sun for another overload. I hear you singing in the wires. I can hear you through the wine, and the Wichita lineman is still on the line. I know I need a small vacation, but it don't look like rain. But if it snows, that stretch down south will never stand the strain. And I need you more than want you, and I want you for all time. And the Wichita lineman is still fine.
Michael is currently on his No Detours tour, and I want to talk more about that in a moment. You can catch Michael July 31st at Tall Ship Windy in beautiful Chicago, right on Navy Pier. You can't go wrong with a great spot like that. 7 o'clock, he'll be there. Get your tickets now for it. Locally, he'll be at Holly Rocks on August 5th, on a wonderful Saturday at 7 o'clock. Love Holly Rocks, so I will see you there, Michael. That is going to be a great show. We'll talk more about your tour in a moment, but I am curious of... for you, do you remember your first concert or maybe the first time you saw a live act and thought, I want to do that?
Actually, my story, I can tell you the first live show that impressed me, but I already knew I wanted to do that. But the very first show that I ever saw that really impressed me was back in 1975. I saw Paul McCartney live in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, wow. In your home state. Wow.
But I was already, it was Paul McCartney and Wings, and I was already doing what I was doing. I was just a young guy, but just watching this guy jumping from bass to playing guitar, to running across the stage and getting onto a piano, and then his vocals were just amazing. This guy just never stopped. Mm-hmm. And that was very impressive to me. But that's not... Because I started so young, I mean, my first show I ever played, I guess I was about 7 years old. Mm.
Wow.
My dad threw me on a stage, and... when I got off that stage, I was so, it got me. I had this thing hit me, and I remember looking up at him, literally looking up at him, because I was just this little seven-year-old kid. And I said, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life.
Wow. Yeah.
And he literally looked down at me and says, he must have been a man of one word. He said, good.
not very talkative, but profound, profound words he chose, right?
But that was another one-word thing that he said to me that just stuck with me, and I thought, okay. And he was very supportive. Unfortunately, I lost my father on my 21st birthday. He was just 49 years old when he passed away. He just came out of the left field. I never saw my dad sick or ill or anything, and he had a heart attack at 49 and took him out. And I don't think a day has passed that I don't talk about him. He impressed me with his philosophy and his ways of what he taught me in such a short time in my upbringing. I still live by those rules or the way he educated me, and it's worked out for me. But those one-word things, man, just stuck with me.
Fantastic.
Very, very supportive. And my mother, too. She was very supportive.
We're speaking with Michael Charles. We're going to take a quick break, but I want to let you know you can find out more about Michael right now going to michaelcharles.us. Go to michaelcharles.us, bookmark that. It's a great way to keep up on not only all the touring that Michael is doing, but all the other interesting things about him. Find his music, MP3s, videos, and such. All there for you at michaelcharles.us. We'll take a quick break and come back with more Director's Cut on WFHR.
In Wisconsin, making memories together is for everyone, whatever your ability. So here's to soaking up surf culture right here on Wisconsin's Fresh Coast. To making time for stargazing as a family. And to imaginations clear for takeoff. Here's to festies with besties. And singing along to your favorite song. Here's to those who Wisconsin. Start your summer getaway at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Thank you.
lying. Smoke too many cigarettes, and I love my wine. I had your love till I left it behind.
Everybody's thinking, everybody's got a road to go.
Welcome back to Director's Cut. We are speaking with Michael Charles. Seth and James here with you. And we're going to talk about a little bit of touring right now because Michael is on his No Detours tour. Again, his another like 100th consecutive tour in a row here. The guy never stops touring. So we're lucky to actually get him, you know, where we can talk to him, but he's not busy off playing music and everything. You can find out more going to michaelcharles.us, michaelcharles.us. Michael is going to be, since we're doing this on July 30th, of course, July 31st, tomorrow, he'll be at Tall Ship Windy in beautiful Navy Pier, Chicago. You can go right on Navy Pier and check that out. You can also check him out locally on August 5th, Saturday at Holly Rocks. He'll be at Holly Rocks here in Wisconsin Rapids. Looking forward to that. Great venue to play. And Michael is going to be touring for quite some time. He's got a lot of great shows coming up. Encourage you to check him out wherever you are listening to us. What I'd like to get to first, though, Michael, is... So I was reading up on this, and for the first time since the pandemic, you're going to be able to head back to your homeland for a couple of weeks before burning through your whole summer schedule. Is that correct?
Yes, and I've actually I have actually just got back maybe a month and a half ago, I guess.
I wasn't sure if you got to go or if you were waiting to go or if you had already been there and come back already. So you have already gone and come back.
Yeah, okay. I went there. It was very short. I was there for 10 days only.
Okay.
I got there. It was basically because I hadn't been back in Australia because of the pandemic and everything. So I think it was close to 3 years or something. Mm. So I thought, I'm going to make this quick trip there. I played a show. I did a one-night-only show, but caught up a lot on radio and some advertising and stuff to let people know that I will be coming back. I will be going back to Australia in February next year, 2024, and just kind of make it let it known that the pandemic didn't kill me. I'm still around and I'm still doing my thing. And I think promotions to me has always been top priority, because without promoting properly, and that's why I admire guys like yourself, without the media, where, you know, like I said off air, we're musicians and actors and all that. Without a good promotion or a good campaign behind us, it's useless. So I always thank everybody you guys are the magic people in my eye.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's a team effort. It really is.
Well, it is a team effort, but it all has to work together and everybody has to understand what their roles are and all that. So thank you. And but the going back, you know, to the Australia thing for 10 days was so important, just to let people know, you know, the whole pandemic thing really put a kibosh in everything for everybody, whether you were, you know, a banker, or whether you were a DJ or a musician or whatever you're doing, a carpenter. We all got hit with it. So we all somehow had to come back and let people know that we're still around. And that was important to me. But the big one to go back down under is 2024.
I imagine getting to go back. You know, I talk to people that live in Chicago that are from Wisconsin, and I'm from Chicago and live in Wisconsin. I get where it. I love living here, but I feel different when I cross that border. You know, I feel my roots. I feel some of that. I can't imagine what it's like in a whole other continent to be away from that and everything. What were some of the things that you enjoyed coming back and getting to do again, being back in Australia?
The biggest thing for me, I mean, going back to Australia, I tour so much, and I'm you know, so much of my life is always in a different place. In part of the country, whether it's Canada or whether it's US or Australia. So going from place to place, I've kind of adapted with that. Whether I'm playing in a venue in Chicago, whether I'm in New York or whether I'm in, you know, New Orleans or whatever, I'm doing my job. I'm doing, you know, my passion is to play music and go out there and share it with the world. So that I don't feel so much. But the thing that affects me when I go back to Australia, the roots to me is I've still got my daughter lives out there. I've got a sister out there. Mm. And I've got my daughter's children, my grandkids. And that is the part that hits home. It's like, wow, I'm so far away and I really don't spend the time with the people that you love, like the people that have got we'll call it the average job, that just gets up in the morning and go home every night, that I think they sometimes may take for granted they can just go and visit their family or go and spend a weekend with them. I haven't got that. So that's the part that I really look forward to. And I think family is... music's always been number one to me, but I think family has got a little bit of an edge on...
Yeah.
On everything you do in your life, because without your family, especially I can't speak for others, but for me, my family have always been so supportive to me that they have got an edge on me or a grip on me, and I hope I never let it go.
Driving. looking for a pot of gold. Going up and down like a merry-go-round. Got to know what I'll find. I will find my Holy Ghost. Where the road leads, I don't know.
Michael, I know that you are not just a guitar player, but you also write. I wanted to talk a little bit with you about that and just creativity in general. First off, what is your writing process like?
The writing, I can honestly say that I've never sat down and say to myself, I'm going to write a song now. This is my couple of hours in the studio and write a song. I don't do it that way. Very early when I started writing songs, I tried that. It doesn't work for me. So it's usually a song will come when I'm just sitting down, relaxed, just noodling on my guitar. Just I could be sitting in front of the television set, just watching a movie or something, cool. and I'll get an idea and just noodle on the guitar, and a song will come. That's when I will do a song, and then if I think it's something worthwhile, I'll just keep it in my head, and when I go into the studio, I'll experiment with it, and then the end result is whatever I've recorded. But I don't like the idea of saying, I'm going to work now and write a song. If I think a good song comes out of you, it's all one huge emotion. I might be having a really down day for whatever the reason is, and I'll write a song, and that song usually is, in my eye, probably a good song. And if I haven't got a feeling to come up with something, I'm not going to force it. So, and usually I've written so many songs through my life that I don't worry about it. I've never had. I hear other writers and so I'm going through a writer's block and things like that. I don't know if I've ever gone through that. Maybe I have or maybe I haven't. And the reason I don't know is that I don't sit down and write a song. It just comes out of me when it's ready. You know, it's like putting a seed in the ground. When it decides to grow, that's when it'll come out of the earth, and that's how my songs appear.
Picked up a guitar when I was just a boy. I played some cover tunes and I made some noise. I felt the blues, but I played rock and roll. As my heart was filling up with soul. Long solo in a long headband. Marshall stack and a Strat in my hand. I played it loud and I played it slow. Love the idea to rock and roll. Another stage, another time. I sing a song, but it just won't rhyme. Play a show in another town.
Do you have any pre-show rituals or things like that that you do, Michael?
Not really. No. I hear a lot of artists, especially vocalists, they warm up their vocal cords, and I know a lot of guitar players will sit in the green room and just, you know, run up and down their neck and loosen their fingers up, or, you know, get ready for the gig. I've never been one of them. I'll just kind of get there and did it out. I guess the best thing for me is I've got to clear my mind. Mm-hmm. That's about it. If I've got things on my mind, I just try to get those things out of my mind, because those 3 to 4 hours of performing, I just want to be focused on that show. I think right that's on. What's important to me. So, but to do anything, any ritual, or no, I haven't really got anything.
You know, Michael, you've played all over the world and done so much. It's weird to ask you this question, but is there a venue you would love to play that you haven't had a chance to? You know, Madison Square Garden, Red Rocks, that kind of thing?
Red Rocks.
That's
got to be the place. I mean, I've never played there, and I've never been there But every artist that I've spoken to or every artist that I've interviewed, they just in awe playing there. So it must be some kind of magical place. And who knows, one day hopefully it'll happen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got a good feeling about that. I'd be betting on that. Yeah. Michael, I feel like you almost already answered this one, but I ask every musician, every creative we have on this, what was some of the best advice someone gave you when you started as a musician? What was that advice? And again, I feel like you might have already got it from your dad, but yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Practice?
Yeah. Yeah, right?
I don't know. I had, when I was probably about 19 years old, I would say, I was playing with, I was doing off and on gigs with this band that would be like more of a party band, I guess. They were playing a lot of weddings at the time, and they were playing. And I had my rock and roll band that I would play in. But they would call me and say, oh, can you help us out here and help us out there? And I would say, sure. And the band members were a lot older than me. I mean, they were probably in their 30s and 40s at the time. And me being 19, they were like old guys, right? So, but I remember the saxophone player. He was probably one of the older guys. Yeah, I'd say probably early 50s, late 40s, I guess. And he sat down, and we were just sitting down talking just things in general. And he turns around and looks at me, goes, how often do you pick up your guitar when you're home? And I said, pretty much every minute of the day. Mm. And he goes, good, because as you get older, you'll probably find there'll be other things coming into your life that'll make you not do that. Mm. But always make sure that you pick it up, even if it's for 5 minutes a day, even if it's for 30 seconds a day. Don't let a day go by without picking up your instrument. Because if you stop doing that, you will get further and further away from it. And that kind of stayed with me. And every time I'll be busy doing something else, and I think, geez, I haven't picked up my guitar today, I think of that guy. And I'll go running to my guitar, pick it up, and play. And it's never 5 minutes, at least a good hour or half an hour.
That's cool.
And then I'll go back to what I was doing. And I guess that was good advice. I would say that is probably one of the best things that anyone ever said to me.
It reminds me of something I heard Chaz Chandler once say, the first manager of Jimi Hendrix. Mm-hmm. He was reminiscing about it, and he said, you know, there's a reason why Jimi Hendrix is so good. He always is carrying his guitar. Mm-hmm. He said he would even take it into the bathroom with him. Mm-hmm. Because he liked the sound of the echo in the bathroom. Yeah. But he said there was a reason he was so good, because he always had his guitar with him.
Yeah, well, talking about going to the bathroom with it, I did that when I was a kid, and that's another thing. Again, you always bring memories of my dad. I remember walking out from the bathroom, and he looked at me and said, I'm convinced there's something wrong with you.
My dad and your dad have a lot in common, Michael. Yeah. Yes, I had that many times.
You were just doing what Hendrix was doing. That can't be a bad comp, right?
Yeah.
And
my mother's name was Mary, and I hear it. I still hear his voice. You go, Mary, Mary, there is something wrong with our son.
Michael, you've made it to the final question. Thank you so much for this time. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, who and why?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Are we talking musically still?
Anything you like.
Living, dead, doesn't matter.
Yep.
Wow. Oh, geez. Historical. You know, I've always been one of the guys that really influenced me, and not just musically himself. It was the people that he surrounded himself with. He always had amazing musicians from his early days to the day he died, and he always would win the race. Mm. And that would have to be Elvis Presley to me. The guy never faltered, even in his last days of his life, where he was overweight and he was obviously struggling just being on stage. he never faltered. He gave it everything he had to the day he died. So I would love if there was a way to sit down and just have a cup of coffee with that man and ask him, where did that energy come from? Mm. What was driving him to be that way? As time has passed, we've all hear, you know, new stories coming out about this man, and his life was not easy. So, but something was driving him, and I would love to know what kept him driven. So, I would say Elvis would be the person.
Fantastic answer. And this has been such a fun, fantastic interview, yes. Michael. It was too good. You're going to have to join us again. You're going to have to come back sometime. We appreciate you too much.
Just call my assistant, man. She'll set it up.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because
I appreciate what you've done.
I really wanted to send a shout out to Jane. Really do appreciate all the work that she does behind the scenes. She's so phenomenally awesome. You got a great partner there with her. She's really great. You can catch Michael July 31st tomorrow on Monday at Tall Ship Windy right there in Navy Pier in Chicago, Illinois. And you can also catch him locally here in Wisconsin at Holly Rock Saturday, August 5th at 7:00. Be sure to check that out. Michael will also be at the Tall Ship Windy for a couple of days in August there, and he'll be on WGN Television Midday Musical August 15th. I'll be definitely catching that, Michael. Looking forward to it. Find more at michaelcharles.us. Sir, thank you for the time.
I appreciate your time, and have a good one, my brother.
You too. You too. We'll talk again soon. That'll do it for Director's Cut. The band's playing. We got to get out of here. Have a great day, everybody.
Grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment. Hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Cloudy skies expected tonight with scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows around 55. Easterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 62. Mainly clear tomorrow night. Chance for scattered rain showers. Lows level off around 48. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids. 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5.